Seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, hopefully everyone's doing really awesome today. You know, we're halfway through the first month of the new year. Amen. Today's the 15th, and I need to make a special announcement because my sister didn't make it, and Dad wants to make sure that you guys know that on this Wednesday is going to be a special service, this Wednesday, so everyone show up. We want to pack the place on Wednesday. No, my sister, Pastor Denise, is going to be ministering this Wednesday night, so I encourage you to come out. You know, sometimes it's really tough to get her to actually minister, and she actually asked, so that was good. So she has some things that are on her heart that she really wants to minister. So I encourage you to be there or be here. If you can't be here, you can watch online. And of course, you can watch online at a later date. Amen. Hopefully everyone's having a great 2023. If you're not, you should. Now I know a lot of people I've been asked for weeks now, when are you going to talk about this year? All right. Cause I normally preach the last Sunday of the year. And the reason being is because mom and dad decided to get married at the end of the year. And so usually there's a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And normally I kind of give my New Year's message. And I don't know, a lot of people have depended on it. I'm not sure why. Anyway, we'll get to that point. You know, going back to 2020, we talked about it's going to be the best year ever. And it was, not for some of you, but for me it was. All right. 2021 was a year of awesomeness, and last year was an exceedingly abundant year. So what is this year? This year is what you make of it, really. I'll give you a word, but, you know, the thing about it is a lot of people are waiting for somebody to prophesy, somebody to say something to change your year. It's not going to change your year. Now, whatever I say will change my year, but whatever you say is going to change your year. See, you have to decide, what do you want your year to be? Now, a lot of people at the end of a year, and I saw it on Facebook a lot, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with looking back to see what your year was or whatever. A lot of people want to analyze their year. I'm not that kind of person. I don't know. Now, you know, I know that there's wins and losses throughout the year or whatever. You know what? I know every time I win and every time I lost during the year, I don't have to refocus on it at the end of the year. All right? You say, well, maybe you need to make some changes. Well, hopefully you made the changes, you know, in June whenever you made the mistake instead of waiting until December to the end of the year. You know, that would be dumb if you're in the middle of the season. Do you realize what? I think Jacksonville lost the first four games of the season, should have lost yesterday and still won. All right. I mean, you can't quit playing because you lose a game. And here's the thing. What happens is things happen during our year that set us back. And you know what? You have an opportunity to change that situation or just let it go. Now, remember 2020, and I prophesied it's going to be the best year ever. You know, this was pre-COVID. You know, but it didn't matter. See, I didn't let anything, ruin my year. But Paul and Sheila Kavanaugh, their pastor in Kendall, Louisiana, the Grand Church, shout out to the Grand Church. During that year, besides COVID hitting their church, they had not one, but two hurricanes hit their city and their church. Two hurricanes. In fact, he even told me, he said, Craig, if you happened to be standing next to me, you know, I was looking over some of the damage after the second hurricane hit, and knowing that you kept telling everyone we're going to have the best year ever, I probably would have hit you just because I wasn't too excited about what's going on. But see, that hurricane wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story was that by the end of 2020, they were able to pay the church off, and they owed, I can't remember how, I mean, you know, $500,000, something like that. They paid the church off. He paid his individual house off, and he had the best year ever. See, he didn't let the hurricane define his year, because there's going to be times in your year, this year, next year, that there's going to be some hurricanes that hit your life. There's going to be some situations that happen that you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? There's going to be some games that you feel, you know what, at the end of the game, you lost. But you know what? Just because you're losing Does a losing a game or loss a game doesn't make you a loser. We just got through, you know, thinking about a champion. We have the champion on the inside of us. So, but do you realize every time a new year happens, I always think about a new season. And I was just listening to a thing last night, late last night as I was driving home from the races, if some of you don't know, the Chili Bowl Nationals are here every January. We were there last night. Dad prayed before the you know, did the invocation. And in fact, a lot of people, I saw someone, actually our vice mayor actually posted a video on you on Facebook, by the way. Christopher Gillespie, who's our vice mayor of Broken Arrow, and she posted a video about a shout out to Broken Arrow. But, you know, had a great time, but I was driving home real late, and because the NFL games were on yesterday, I have the NFL channel, Sirius XM radio, which I listen to, and they were doing expose on the 1972 Dolphins. Anybody know that they were the only team that's ever been undefeated, right? 1972 Dolphins. All right. Do you realize the 1971 Dolphins went to the Super Bowl, but they lost? And they said, you know what? No matter how good we did all year long, the fact that we lost the last game was disappointing. So what are we going to do? We're going to come back next year and we're going to refocus. And you know, and even if we win every game of the thing, we want to make sure we win the Super Bowl. Because you can win every other game and lose the Super Bowl and it not be a good year. Because here's the thing. Many of you probably don't even know who lost the Super Bowl last year. I don't even remember. And I'm a huge football fan. You know, no one remembers who lost the Super Bowl. Everybody knows who won. And everybody knows the Dallas Cowboys haven't won in a long time. But in fact, you know, I can't remember who was talking about, you know, someone said the fact, do you realize that someone said about their my kids have never seen the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, that's pretty sad, but this is our year. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have as much faith in the Cowboys as I do in my Jesus. So. But your year is what you make of it. It's what you make of it. You have to decide. So, you know, the deal is when I come into every year, whenever, you know, the ball drops, well, I guess the ball drops, you still got to wait for an hour, you know, because they drop the ball New York time. And so, it's, you know, it's not actually a new year until an hour later. I tried to trick my granddaughter this year. The ball dropped, said, okay, time for bed. And she's like, no, Pa, it's only 11 o'clock. I'm like, the ball dropped. She was bound to determine she was going to wait till the new year before she goes to bed. So anyway, you know, but when the clock strikes the next year, you're 0-0. You haven't won any games. You haven't lost any games. You know, it's a new season. And, you know, I always just forget about the year before and move on to the next year. Of course, Paul says it best in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. He says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." You know, I'm going to stop right there. You know what? No matter what you achieved, you haven't achieved it. I don't care if you won the Super Bowl last year. It doesn't really matter. You're not done. You haven't finished. See, at one point in time, Paul finished his course with joy. But at that point, he hadn't achieved the end. Now, just because you get the end of one season doesn't mean I don't care. Maybe last year, you know, you led 200,000 people to the Lord. Well, it's a new year now. You know, good for you. We're going to clap about it. But, you know, what are you going to do? Stop and tell everyone, hey, you know what I did last year? Hey, you know, pretty soon you're talking about the good old days. You know, we're living in 2042 and you're saying, well, back in 2022, you know, it's not about what you did last year. It's about what's coming up. And so what does Paul say? He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But what do? I focus on this one thing. Well, what do I focus on? I focus on forgetting the past. All right, and I get it. A lot of people want to forget your past because, you know, but you know what? Forgetting the past also, you forget the championships that you won. You forget, you know, what happened because it doesn't really matter. You know, if you won the Super Bowl last year and you don't win a game the next year, nobody cares. Well, the good thing about not, you know, finishing last in a league, then you get the first round draft choice. So you get to draft somebody that hopefully is going to help your franchise. But here's the deal. You know, when it comes to Christianity, we already have the most valuable player on the inside. We don't have to wait to draft somebody else to help us, you know, go through our year. So forgetting the things which are behind, whether they're positive, negative, doesn't matter. Forgetting what we did last year, what do we do? According to the New Living says this, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Well, what lies ahead? You know, great things? Well, what are they? I don't even know. I'm excited. All right. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, a lot of people, they're just ready for the rapture to happen. In fact, three people in the last couple of weeks have said, well, Craig, you know, the rapture is going to happen really soon. Well, maybe it will. I don't know. I'm not here to predict it. And if you're going to, I'm going to give some word of advice. If you want to predict when Jesus Christ is coming back, make sure chronologically you probably won't be here. Because if you are here and you had a bad prediction, then you're kind of toast, all right? I just know the Bible says to occupy till he comes. I also know that there's a lot of people that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean that's the point. I'm pretty good at math. I'm not a good math teacher. I just want to ask my sister. She'll tell you. Ask my kids. They'll tell you. I'm not a good math teacher. Because I'm like, how can you not understand this? This is like simple math. You know. Now, I haven't figured out. Maybe you guys use algebra every day. But I haven't used algebra since I graduated. I don't use geometry either. You know, but, you know, I'm not measuring angles or anything like that. I don't know, you know, but, you know, math says this. I actually, the best estimate of born-again Christians, the highest estimate I've ever seen is like 2 billion people, and that's probably high, you know, because there's a lot of practice, I mean, that are non-practicing, whatever, who knows. But, you know, what are we up to right now in the world? 8 billion? Well, so if you take 8, you know, minus 2, that's 6 billion that are left. 6 billion people that claim not to be saved. 6 billion people, so, and you're just ready to go home. You know, I'm not ready to go home. I'm ready for a revival. You know, it's not time to go home. You know, at some point in time, it will be time to go home. You know, I'm not singing, there's a whole lot of people going home yet, so. You know. Anyway, but we need to focus on what's ahead. Well, what's ahead? Great things. Why is there great things ahead? Because I say so. What do you mean you say so? Well, it's what the Bible says. It says that we should speak to our year. We should say with our mouth what we want. John chapter 14, John 14, John, hang on, I'm trying to get my bookmarks here. John chapter 14, I'm actually going to start with verse 12. John 12, 14, verse 12, New Living says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do, this is Jesus talking, red letters in your Bible, will do the same works as I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, he just said, this is Jesus talking, that anyone who believes in me, that sounds like anyone who's saved, right? Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Because you have the champion on the inside, you're going to do greater things if you believe. Now it goes on to say, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So I think he wants us to ask for anything in his name and he's going to do it. That's what the Bible says. Now, what do you need? Many people are like, well, Craig, I need this, I need that. Well, the Bible says, whatever you need, ask him. Ask him. So if you need a good year, then ask him. I mean, what do you need? Now, here's the thing. It says, if anyone believes in me, I tell you, if anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You know, I believe it's time to see more miracles. And one thing that I really do believe in 2023 and beyond, we're going to see more miracles. I pray every time for miracles, signs, and wonders. And we're going to see more miracles. I mean, I just think about like Peter and John at the temple and how the guy came up and says, you got any money? And they said, no, we don't got no money, but what we have is greater than money. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And he did. He did. And I believe that we're going to see greater miracles. And we're only going to see greater miracles if we believe. That's the point. What do you expect? Now, I don't know if some of you that are, children of, proud of the 80s or whatever. But when I was growing up, I don't even know how many times, of course, obviously, we would do services on the road. We do a morning service and a night service. And I hear my grandfather says, well, come tonight with your expectors turned on. Anyone ever heard that? Well, I want to know why you turn them off. See, and sometimes we only expect things to happen at church. Yeah, well, praise God, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to have one of those wild services, people are going to run and shout and whatever. I expect great things all year long. I'm going to turn my expectors on. I expect to see great things. And so I was waiting for some to get all the details or whatever from the doctor, but I'm going to tell you a great thing that happened the other day. Sometimes, whenever we see these prayer cloths, we don't realize they represent people, even though we say they represent people, but they do. So I'm going to tell you about a miracle that happened the other day. I was preaching at Anchor Faith Church, Pastor Earl Glesson, on a Wednesday night, and although I did not preach, I preached a message on faith, not necessarily on healing, but I always give an opportunity, to pray for the sick, and I figured only a few people came down. Actually, a lot of people came down. A lot of people were sick. And so I remember this at their church. They have a public school at their church. So I remember right at the end, I had prayed for some prayer cloths, and someone says, hey, wait a minute, and they got a t-shirt, and actually was one of the t-shirts from their high school, from their school, and they had me pray over it. Didn't know what I was praying over, but laid hands on the cloth and commanded the healing power of God to flow in this cloth. And so what it turned out was that prayer cloth was for a young kid who I think he was either in pre-K or kindergarten at the school. His parents did not attend the church. They were not church members, didn't attend, don't know how they believe or what, but this young boy had a brain tumor. And I understand a little bit about brain tumors because I had a brain tumor as well. Well, so the doctors had already said they're going to operate on the brain tumor, and they said that it was so big, they knew they could not get it all, and You have to understand that happened to me whenever I had a brain tumor back here, and the doctor says they could not get it all because it was too close to the brain stem and it was, you know, it could have killed me. So they couldn't get all the tumor, but praise God, God took care of the rest. We took the, you know, scans later on and it was all gone. Also, they said that my skull wouldn't grow back, and it did. All right. Now, so, but this kid, they had said that he was going to undergo, surgery to remove the tumor. They were not going to be able to get it all, but they wanted to get, you know, a lot of the mass. I get a call on December the 20th. So December the 19th, this young man had, they had scheduled surgery. I think it was the 19th. It was that week right before Christmas. Scheduled surgery on a Monday. He had already shaved his head. And in fact, some other people from his class, and actually some older kids or whatever, shaved their head too, just to support. And so, but let me tell you, so what they did, this kid, he's in pre-K or kindergarten, and so every day at nap time, the teacher would put this T-shirt, this T-shirt was too big for the kid, but lay the T-shirt on this kid every day and just claim healing in his body. Well, on December the 19th, the kid went to go to have surgery. When he got there, I guess, you know, the tumor was, you could see the tumor, and the doctors couldn't see the tumor. So the doctor said, we're not going to operate yet. We're going to take an MRI first. They took the MRI, and they couldn't find the tumor. They said, now, there is a little bit of fatty tissue. It might be just like, you know, brain matter or whatever, but as far as we're concerned, the tumor's not there. There's nothing to be concerned about. Now, sadly, he already shaved his head, but anyway, it'll grow back. So it was gone. Now, this kid's parents do not go to church there. I mean, you know, I said, what do the parents think? I said, well, they're in shock. They don't really know what to think. But praise God, we're going to see more things like that. If we believe, you know, and I really believe, you know, for greater things. But you know what? We speak into existence what are yours like. Now, here's the thing. Do you realize you can say things and not really mean them? You know, it's not just what you say, it's how you act. There are people that wake up in the morning and they jump out of bed and they begrudgingly say, this is the day the Lord's made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And they go down and yell at their kids, yell at their wife, yell at their coworkers and gripe about it all day long, have a miserable day. But they woke up saying, this is an awesome day. Well, you got to actually act like it's an awesome day. And you know what? You got to act like it's an awesome day even when things that don't feel like it's an awesome day. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. You know, I remember the story about Cooper Beatty. And many of you know Cooper, great teacher here. And he was, he would talk to himself all the time. He would tell himself how he feels. Because he was older, he wasn't doing good, but he says, I don't listen to that. I tell my body how I feel. See, we speak things into existence. We speak things into existence in our life, in our year. I mean, you know, what do we say? What are we saying? Another scripture here in John 15:7, I'll read this from the New King James. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So what do you desire your year to be? Do you desire your year to be crummy and miserable and terrible or whatever? Or do you desire it to be an awesome year? Now, it's whatever you desire. Many people say, well, you know, whatever, God willing, whatever he desires for my year. Well, I'm here to tell you, you know, it's not my notes, but John 10:10 says that Jesus came that we might live life and have it more abundantly. He desires you to have a good year. Whether you have the right tires or not, he still wants you to have a good year. I know I joke about it, but you know, maybe some of you probably should get some Goodyear tires so that way you can at least see it every day when you're walking to your car. Remind yourself you're going to have a good year. Either that or you can buy a blimp, fly it over your house every day and look up and, you know, or maybe you can make it your screensaver. Make the blimp your screensaver on your phone or your device, and that way you can remind yourself about having a good year. But it, your year is whatever you say it is. You know, whatever, what do I desire my year to be? The Bible says he's going to give you desires of his heart. In fact, speaking of desire, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Most of you know this. I'm going to read it from the King James. Why? Because that's how I remembered it. That's how I knew it. Mark 11, 23 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast on the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, you know, I know this is talking about speaking to a mountain and being thrown away, but you know what? You can also speak to your year. If you want to have whatever you say, said, you know, I'm going to have a great year. That's why I want to go back to like 2020 when you talk about best year ever. Every day, say you have, I'm going to have the best year ever. Expect, but don't just say it. Expect to have it every day. Expect it to be a better day. You say, you know, well, but what happens whenever you face a bad day? What happens whenever you face a bad situation? Well, I'm not going to let that situation destroy my year. I'm not going to let a hurricane ruin the rest of my year. Yeah, but it was a bad day. All right? Teams have bad days sometimes. Now, here's the thing, but why? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, here's the Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but it doesn't say that no weapon will never be formed against us. We'll have weapons formed against us. Yeah, but in the end, we win. You know, and sometimes when you need to start speaking is whenever you feel you're losing. When you're starting to get crummy, you say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. You know, just like if, you know, my grandfather always talked about that, you know, he had his last headache he had was August of 1933. Too late started having headaches now. He said, well, when his head started hurting, he would speak to it. He would speak to his body. You can speak to your body, you can speak to your ear, but, you know, verse 24 says this. It says, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire or ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You're going to have whatever you desire in 2023. Whatever you desire in 2024, whatever you desire in 2025 and 2026 and 2027, not what I desire for your life. Not what anybody else desires for your life. You're going to have whatever you say, whatever you desire, whatever you speak. So I know this is bad, but in essence, you determine your year. So if you said, well, last year was a crummy year, what's your fault? What were you saying to your year? What were you speaking and what were you expecting? Because we already have the champion on the inside. He said he came that we might have a great year. Because, you know, you can't have a bad year if you're living life more abundantly. He came that we might have an abundant life. We might have a good year. But if we're not having a good year, it's because we're not speaking those things into existence. He says that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. He's like, you know what? What do you need? Speak it. What do you want? Not just what you need, what do you want? Because see, a lot of people say, well, you know what? I really would desire this, but I don't have to have it. Well, the Bible, I just read two verses where we talked about desire. It didn't say you had to have it. It says what things soever you desire. You know, if you can read my book, The Power of God, for you to speak Spanish, poder de Dios. The power of God, I talk about believing God for some golf clubs. I did not need the golf clubs. Actually, I will go on record, it did not help my golf game after I got my new golf clubs. I desired them. I wanted them. And I asked for them, and God provided. Supernaturally. It didn't help my golf game. I didn't have to have golf clubs. I had some good ones before, but I wanted better ones. You know? So then I just started desiring practice. No, I'm just kidding. You actually got to use them to get better. But, he wants to give us whatever we desire. That's what the Bible says. So what do you desire for this year? What do you desire, for your life? I don't know if this is interesting part about it. So a couple months ago, I was praying about the year, and I got the word inflation. Well, of course, I can watch the news and get that. Inflation. You're like, well, what's inflation? And the first thing that God says was inflation of his glory, inflation of his goodness, inflation of his mercy, inflation of his provision, inflation of whatever we need. So I believe in inflation. I believe in a greater anointing. I believe in more power. I believe in a revival. And like I said, as the economy, I'm not dependent upon the economy. I'm dependent upon my God. My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. And you know what? My needs are not just financial either. But, the first thing he says, inflation of his glory. I believe that we're going to have a greater glory. We should expect greater things. I'm going to see greater miracles. In all reality, a lot of times when we talk about our year, we're thinking about how financially God's going to bless us. But it's not just all about finances. It's about changing people, changing lives. It's about healing. I just believe that we're on the edge of a revival. How do you tip over? We've been standing on the edge of the stage for a long time. How do you just move over? If you're standing on the edge of a swimming pool, the way to tip over is just to jump. God wants to do awesome things. But we got to expect them, first of all. We got to want them. And I don't know. I'm just excited about 2023. 15 days into the year, is it a good year? Awesome. It's an awesome year. It's everything that we've been talking about the last 3 years all combined. Now, someone else gave me a word. We were just talking about something, and he said this, and I'm taking it from my ear. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Or extraordinary, either way. Going back to the scriptures we read last year, and which is still scriptures we'd read, Dan talked about them today. Ephesians 3:20. New King James says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now it says, exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think. And so, the deal is that we have to ask or think something before he can do exceedingly abundantly more. So the whole point is we got to ask, what do you desire? What do you want? What do you expect? And those things all should go hand in hand, because you know what? You can say something, but not expect it. And so why do you not expect it? Well, because it seems out of reach. It seems out of reach. Well, the Bible doesn't say, if something's out of reach, don't believe for it. If it's just too hard, nothing is too hard for God. But what do we expect? Do you realize I've been studying this, when Peter and John, when they told the guy that we don't got no money, but what we have is better than money, In the name of Jesus. See, first of all, they said the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Do you not think that they expected the man to get up? Now, everybody else was shocked whenever the guy got up and began to walk. But I don't think Peter and John were shocked because that's what they expected. And you know what? What they expected happened because of their expectations. You know, I expect great things to happen. But here's the thing, is that if I really desire something, if I really expect it, it's going to be on my mind daily. I'm going to think about it daily. I'm going to speak it daily. I'm going to live it daily. It should be a constant reminder. And you know what? It doesn't matter if we show up for this week's ball game and get beat. You know, looks like the Dallas Cowboys got beat pretty bad last week. But they're going to show up tomorrow night and they're going to win their first playoff game in a long time. God willing. No, I'm kidding. Understand, having faith in my team is not like having faith in God. That's the thing we need to understand. You know, because we, in our own mind, we kind of have the same, we have natural faith. Well, natural faith, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't win. But we have the champion on the inside. That's what they sung before I got here. The champion's on the inside. We're always a winner in Christ, through Christ Jesus. We should never expect to lose. We should never expect to have a crummy year. You know, I don't care if you had a crummy year. Well, I had a crummy year last year. Well, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, this happened. I don't care what happened last year. It doesn't matter. You're 0-0. I mean, the Georgia Bulldogs just won the national championship for the second straight year. But you know what? They're the champions right now. But come September, you know, the first game of the season, they'll be even with every other team. They'll be tied for last place at 0-0. So right now, you're tied for last place. What you do is going to determine where you go. It's going to determine what happens in your year. You know, I mean, you know, what you say, you're going to have. That's the whole scripture that we stand the whole ministry on. We can speak to our year. We can speak to our situation. Now, you know, Ephesians 3:20, I'm going to remind you once again from some other translations that are pretty awesome. The Message says this: God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. You know, the greater one's on the inside of us. And you know, he can do more than we can imagine, more than we can ask or think. What do we expect? We should expect more. The Voice translation says it this way. It says, now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine through the power at work in us. The Passion says this way: never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You know what? The greater one is on the inside of you. And no matter what happens this year or next year, the year after that or 10 years from now, no matter, you know, what happens every day, you need to understand that you are going to win. If you keep believing, if you keep saying, if you keep expecting, you know, exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And, you know, I know I can't grasp my head around it yet. But I think that's the point. That God wants to do so much more than we expect, but we got to expect him to do something before he can do more. You know, and like I said, this is not just a financial thing. God does want to bless your finances. And, you know, and I think that too many people focus too much on that. Because the Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Doesn't say seek first the things and the kingdom will be added. It says seek ye first the kingdom. And, you know, my expectations are high this year. I turned my expectors on early. I'm not going to turn them off. You know, we shouldn't turn them off. We should expect things. You know what? And but I don't know. I even kept hearing it this morning when I was praying. You know what? There's going to be some things happen that seems like a roadblock, but don't let roadblocks determine your year. You know, there's going to be some situations and circumstances that take place, but you know what? Speak to those situations. Speak to those circumstances. Understand, you know, don't let something discourage your thinking. See, what happens is something happens and we're like, well, I'm going to have another crummy year. Well, it's going to be bad again. You're going to have whatever you say you're going to have. You know what? You need to, when we need to speak more is when things are going crummier. The more terrible things are, the more positive we should speak. And I know that's a hard thing to do, but you know what? What else are you going to do? You know, a lot of times you get to the point you're either going to cry about it or you're going to speak to it. You know, and like I said, a lot of times there's nothing you can do. You cannot change the past. You can only change your future. You know, now, I know you can maybe do things to rectify your past, but you can't really change it. It's already happened. Whatever, you know, happened yesterday has already happened. Whether it was good, whether it was bad. But you know what? What happens today and what happens tomorrow, you can affect. Maybe the first 14 days of your year were crummy. So, it's just 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks. You know, what happens is that we go through situations and we're like, you know, don't let anything determine your whole year. You know, I know that, I don't know, it was last year or year before, I mean, that someone wrote me on social media, and they were, I think it was 2020, they're talking about the best year ever, and they go on, it was like July, they're telling me how crummy their year was, and how this thing happened and that thing happened, you know, and it's been a bad year, and I shouldn't say it's the best year ever, and all this, and so I don't normally respond to these people, but I did. I responded. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry that happened. You know, and I was. I mean, you know, but the thing about it is you can't change that now, but you can change, you know, and I encouraged them to speak, you know, and they wrote me back and they got excited. They were having a bad day. And they were trying to let that, well, they've had a bad month or bad couple of months. Things happened they didn't expect and all those kind of things. But the point is I encourage them, don't let that determine the rest of your year. Don't let that determine, you know, your whole year. And, you know, I didn't know how they were going to take what I said. You know, all I did is speak the word to them, but they took it in a good fashion. They're like, you're right. You know, but they were having a bad day. There's going to be times you're having a bad day. You know, I know a lot of preachers don't want to talk about having a bad day. They don't want to talk about, you know, things not working out or that kind of, you know, but we've all been there. We've all been there. We all have the same devil. He's trying to attack us. But the point is he's trying. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what are you going to do about it? You have a bad day, so what? You know what? Well, I actually was listening to one of the quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks, said, you know, who've thrown quite a few interceptions, and they're like, well, how do you get rid of it? He goes, you know what? I just have to forget it. Because if I think about throwing an interception last time, I'm going to go out and throw another one. You know, because I'm gonna like, well, maybe I shouldn't throw that ball and I'm going to get sacked. You know, because see, you know, here's that something else. If you're always thinking about a negative outcome, you're not going to have a positive outcome. If your mind says, well, you know what, every time I throw the ball, it gets intercepted, then every time you throw the ball, it's going to get intercepted. Just keep throwing the ball. Don't stop just because something happened that you didn't expect. In a bad term. But, you know, because, see, you know what? My Bible says, what is, I know that's the way I was brought up. My grandfather always, you know, put it into me. What does the Word say? Well, the Word says that whatever I ask in His name, that He's going to do it. The Word says that I'm going to have exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can ask or think. And that was what the Word says. You know, and in a lot of ways, I mean, in modern day terminology, you know, we should say, well, I'm going to have an exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think here, and drop the mic and let it go. Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word says. But you know what? You're only going to have that if you keep speaking that. Keep speaking it. And when you have that bad day, say it five times. And I don't know, the thing I kept getting this morning was, don't let a day determine your year. Or don't let a week determine your year. Or don't let a month determine your year. Or don't let 14 days determine your year. Remember, we started off with Philippians. He says, I focus. Well, you know what? There's going to be opportunities to lose focus. Especially when you start your year 0-4. You know what? But 0-4 doesn't, you know, finish here. And I didn't get to watch the game, but, you know, like I said, Jacksonville was 0-4 to start the season. They were 27 points down at halftime. And they won. Yeah, but it was the last play of the game. Doesn't matter. They're going to the next round of the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter how crummy your week was. It doesn't matter how crummy your day was. What matters is who's on the inside of you. What matters is, what are you speaking? What are you saying? What are you doing about it? I'm going to have a good year. I'm going to have an extraordinary year. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. I'm speaking to my year, and I'm going to have an inflated year, inflation of everything, except for my weight. All right. And, you know, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, that as each and every one of us have started this year, Father, we thank you for an awesome 2023. But Father God, we thank you that every single time that we have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, or whatever, that you are going to remind us that we can have whatever we desire, whatever we say, whatever we do. And Father God, we thank you right now for every person that's in this room, every person that's listening online or watching this later on, Father. We just thank you to help us to speak to our year every day, to speak to our circumstances every day. And we thank you for an exceedingly, abundantly great year, Father. But Father God, we thank you right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if anyone is here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you that they will make him Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life. And I want to today. I want to make him Lord. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. You know, my grandfather talked about a no-so experience. You need a no-so. You need to know that you've asked him to become Lord and Savior of your life. Or maybe here tonight and you say, or this morning, and you say, I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. You know what? It's really hard to have a great year without knowing the champion who's on the inside. Anyone across this auditorium, anyone that needs salvation, rededication, or have a no-so experience. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now for each and every person that's in this room, each and every person watching online. We thank you, Father, that you're sending laborers across their path if they're not saved, Father. But we thank you, Father, for helping them in everything that they do. We thank you for a wonderful year. In the name of Jesus, amen.